down right there. Okay, I started it.
Okay, do we have public input today at all?
We do not.
Okay, so moving on. None. And we can talk. Do we want to go ahead and talk with, you know, just have Monica get started? Oh, here comes David. We'll wait for him to pop on.
Okay, am I here yet?
You're here, David. We hear you, but we can't see you.
Oh, you can't see me?
Okay. Right. Well, while you work on your video, we're going to let Monica Vernon, who is here with us today, we're gonna let Monica get started on what she wants to say, since you can hear, right?
I can hear, yes.
Okay, great.
Yeah, and why, I'm trying to find the screen share option. Why can I not find that? So we were going to show. Oh, here. Okay. I'm just not seeing well, am I? Okay.
So welcome, Monica.
Thank you.
Yeah, glad to have you with us. The floor is yours.
Okay. Well, we have been working diligently on some murals for the Czech Village New Bohemia District. And let me put a little marketing plug in here. We're really working with the Gazette and the city to make sure that we call it, you know, the Czech Village and New Bohemia District. We're doing really well here. Not Nubo, because a lot from research, we found out a lot of people think Nubo is just the market.
Mm.
And we now have over 225 businesses in the district. You guys won't believe this, but during the pandemic, and I know it's not really over yet, but let's call it the 2 years, we lost 10 businesses. We're still going to kind of work on whether that's true or it might be a few more, but it looks like 10 for sure. But we gained 30 some. And I don't know, you know, that seems counterintuitive, but people work so hard on the, well, the internet part of their business and, you know, curbside pickup and delivery. And I just think a lot of people thought this is the time to quit my other job and do what I always wanted to do. And we're seeing that in the national statistics. So that's a little bit about what's going on in the Czech Village New Bohemia District. So we have done two different murals and we've talked to you guys about both of them. The first one was in Czech Village and it's the Mooka Meets Iowa. And we still have a ton of people interested in that. And like a lot of brides go stand in front of that woman and picture taken for the entire wedding party. That's become a thing. Prom kids, it's a place to get your senior picture taken and they pick different things. So that's cool. Then we decided we really wanted to do something to remember the immigrants. And we did this and we just call it homage to immigrants. And we tried to show immigrants who maybe weren't always shown, people of, you know, women and people of different colors. And I think that's been an interesting thing for people at Kickstand to take a look at while they're drinking a beer out in the parking lot. At first, the guy who owns Kickstand was very worried because the property line was right along that wall and he thought it would hurt his business. And I said, no, I really don't think so. And he confirmed that. And now he's a big believer in the stuff we do because I think he had doubled the beer sales. So, hey, whatever it takes. We were just trying to do the next girl. And then, so this is our third one. And what happened was 2 years ago when we put out a kind of a request for proposals sort of thing to artists. And we basically wanted to get people who don't usually do murals, but had some artistic ideas to lend to us. And we put out an inspiration to them that was kind of based on populist artists, Thomas Hart Benton, obviously our own Grant Wood and potentially, you know, Marvin Cohn, but, and just talk to us about the people who built this place. And so the first place was the one that now you can see next to Kickstand, and we showed you. But second place, we had 9 submissions, and we said if you we might buy more than one. Well, we did. We bought 2. We paid them $1,000 for their work. And the idea was, you can show us this, but you might not be the muralist. So don't be worried. We're looking for art.
Uh-huh.
So we bought this one, and we were searching for a spot. And so it's going to go on the side of this building. And this might look like a nondescript, where the heck is this? But just over to the left-hand side of that picture where there's a grove of trees, that is between this building we're looking at and that grove of trees. The next thing is St. Wenceslaus Church. So you're on 16th Avenue Southeast, and on to the right is Tornadoes, great cheeseburger joint. Right now we have a lot of weeds growing up this thing. It ends up that Jim Pearsall, our commission chair, owns this building. We were scouting buildings, and it ended up he owned one of them. And so he's also put in some dollars personally, separately, to show that, you know, you're doing it on my building, and I value this. So if we go to the next slide, and thank you. I wasn't even looking at that. That's where it is. So this is the one that came in second place, and it's quite dark. We had them, a lot of them did them in black and white. And then I said, can you add color to this? And I really, want it to be a little bit more colorful, or we're going to lose it on that wall. But what this guy did, and it's Thomas Agron, he's a drawing professor at the University of Iowa, really nice guy to talk to and work with. And what he did, unlike the one over by Kickstand, it was all about the people. And I don't know how he meshed in that many people when you look at it. This one is a little bit more like how the sausage was made, you know, and think about New Bohemia in those years. You know, it was all about manufacturing, and whether it was dairy equipment. Is that what it was in the Cherry Building, David?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And then, you know, but we did make sausage down there and a lot of other meat-based things. My mother remembers, because she lived right on the tracks above her dad's mini bottling works, all the troop trains coming in to get meat. So I think this is really, you know, it's right near where the railway went through. And so it's a little hard to see because it is so dark, but there are people in there. But it's kind of one of those things, I don't even know what you call them, where, you know, the ball drops down and something else happens. And it's a manufacturing plant. It's a assembly line. And uh-huh. We had those in there. Now, we had a long discussion about the labor is entitled to all it creates. And we looked that up, and it actually is a Karl Marx saying. And we decided that while we are for the people and society, we also thought it might be going a bit too far. The word entitled sort of bothers me and others. So we're going to change that to labor is empowered by all it creates. So we know that we all have to share a little bit of everything that we ever create. We don't do things alone. So that will actually say labor is empowered by all it creates. Now you can see where, you know, it's a stair step on the top. That's because this artist created it for that other building where by Kickstand. So we have hired again the muralist that's done, this will be her third, Allie Vall, HVAL. A very Czech name. And last time what she did is this Thomas Agron, she outbid him or underbid him by just a little bit to paint the Kickstand mural, the homage to immigrants. So this is actually his work. And he was busy doing other things, but it kind of looks like Allie is going to also hire him, and then she just pays him half. And they work together so well. So we're going to brighten this up, so you can really see all these manufacturing processes and all the people working in there. And kind of as you look at it, your eyes kind of get used to it. But we really do need it so that people can come by and see what that, now that will face this new, this fancy new building, and people will be reminded of the people who did the hard work.
On 40th Street?
That'll be on, it'll be, well, 4th Street. Yeah, you're right. 4th, on 4th.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're just 2nd Street there between 2nd Street, the corner of 2nd Street and 16th Avenue is where they, about where the number 2 is, and you just go a little bit up. That's where our current homage to immigrants is, and then you're just going about another block. Where that deal is where Tornadoes is, and then just right above it is the mural location. Now, the next block between where the Black Arrow is and where St. Wenceslaus Church is, see up there? Mm-hmm. That's where this new, big new housing, they have already broken ground for it.
Wow.
I must say it's not my favorite building on earth, but anyone who complains needs to please get me a drawing of a building they would like to see in our district. Because we can't just complain. I really, honestly, I put that open to anybody. Show me one you want to build, I'll find a builder to build it. So any questions about this mural, concerns or questions or anything?
What is that?
That building is just right now it is home to Ryan Construction.
Okay.
I think they house their trucks in there and some of their equipment.
Oh, okay.
I don't think he has, the scary thing about this for me, but this muralist is not daunted by anything. It's like those, that concrete, it like looks like fake concrete bricks.
Oh, yeah.
Only smaller than the one that the Mooka Meets Iowa is painted on. If you think of the texture of that Mooka Meets Iowa building, it was those bigger stone. They're concrete, but yeah, they're kind of supposed to look like stone. So it was like a little bit more, it's not cinder block. It's the kind of more whatever, but it's so much texture. And she just said, we can do it. You know, and she just gets how to do that so that your eye is probably tricked a little bit, or I don't know, she just knows how to do it. Our thing we're kind of facing now is where do we wrap this? So Allie and I are going to work on that. How will...
Yeah, with that door?
Well, they always paint right over the door,
right?
But this is at an angle, as you can tell there. And so I'm not really exactly sure. Yeah, we might be able to get it on Google. We're not sure. It's not going to be perfect from any. Do you want to be able to see it from St. Wenceslaus Church? Do you want to see it when you're coming over the bridge? Oh, good. You're so good at this. Okay.
Let's see. I think we're here.
Yeah. Okay. There we go.
Okay.
So then there's the church, and this is people will, you know, you can see Geometric is over there. And right where all those to the left there, that's where that is all going to be, this housing thing. Not there. Right. I'm left-handed, so right and left get. That side right there. That'll be the big housing thing. And the city will go through with 4th Street, but not right away. And we've ripped some of those. There's like woody vines growing up. So, you know, do we wrap it a little bit? What do we do? And also, I'm about ready to get, pardon me?
Have you looked into painting both sides? Or you prepared
them? Yeah, we're looking to be able to wrap it, Lynn. Yeah, to maybe start it and be able to do it on both sides. Could be really interesting. I can't hear.
Yeah, for sure.
So I'm saying, are you going to paint completely both sides, not just part of one side?
And she's really good at taking like what he has at the bottom with the, I don't know, like just different motifs and putting them in different places so that you're painting the whole thing. And I think with the extra dollars we're being given, like I said to Pearsall, you just need to paint your whole building. Like it needs help. But see the motifs and stuff and the like equipment, you know, we can use that to kind of finish off the whole thing. Yeah. It's amazing what she'll do with this.
Yeah, I like that. I like it. I think it's nice and I like the darkness, actually. It's got a richness to it, especially with, you know, good blacks in there somewhere. It's got a lot of richness. I don't see a need to make it any lighter, frankly. And I think the color is subtle. And I think that would be, I think that's nice also. I like the subtle color. Not everything needs to be, right out of the Crayola box, saturated and all. this has got a lot more subtlety to it. I think it's cool.
So your favorite mural is not the one that's mine when you stand at the old post office in downtown Iowa City and you look at that bright pink and yellow and whatever that is. I just love that one.
Oh, it's so, okay. It's okay. I mean,
well taken, David. Point well taken. I mean, this is serious business. You're inside a factory. Yeah. And I agree. He tried to do a real rich. I love just seeing the blue overalls everywhere and the white hats on people. So you can kind of tell. I just want to be able to make sure people can see all the people in there doing all the hard work.
Make it distinguished.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't ban those colorful things. I think, you know, we're putting up lots of murals, and they don't all have to fit the same formula. And so some really juicy color is a lot of people really like juicy color.
So I'm a little confused. Is this what you're showing us? If this is going to go on one side of the building, then what's going to go on the other side?
So Lynn, this is a concept and we're going to have to change it a little bit because it's not, it's not in the dimension we really need.
Okay.
And so we're going back and forth about, do we make it turn that corner? And I think it could be very interesting if we did that, but
yeah.
It means that the second artist, the muralist, at least she has something to work with. So this is the inspiration. So unlike a lot of mural projects where you just say, here you go, Lynn, do whatever you're thinking about today, and they stand up and do whatever. This one, really, she needs to respect what this artist was doing, but she's gonna have to work with the limitations of the texture of the building and the, you know, the size and the dimensions, so what you're going to see is going to be a little bit different, but it will respect this.
So it's basically this idea, but going around the two sides of the building.
Yep. Okay. And I'm hoping I can get him to, you know, paint that whole building, because I think it could be really cool. And I've gotten to know him pretty well. And when I told him this building needed painting, he agreed with me. So, and threw $5,000 into the kitty. So
nice.
I think we can make that happen.
Good. Yeah. So we met with someone last month, a woman from the Knoll Ridge Park. They want to put a mural on the Knoll Ridge building, the big concrete slab out there, and initially she was just talking about the entrance, which was a fairly small segment of wall compared to the whole building, and then eventually she wanted to go around the corner and do this long this long wall, but they didn't have the money for that, so one of the things we recommended was that they design the whole thing first and then just paint it in parts as the money came, you know, do one wall with part of the money so that the two weren't so different, you know, by two completely different artists and different styles and so on. And that you know, just the compositional continuity from one side of the building around the corner to the other side, they made some sense. Made some, you know, visual sense or subject matter sense. Maybe like, see, on the very far left of this one, there's a guy with a white paper hat on, cutting up meat. If right around the corner, there we saw the backside of that guy, you know, from that angle. Yeah. I think that would be interesting, that because we'll look, because then we'll really have a sense of looking into a real space. If we can see like the, and another angle on the two guys across the table from him there. Mm-hmm. Just so everything's being thought about initially, rather than, you know, oh, we got some more money, let's put another wall on, let's do another wall, and then come up with a completely different idea.
And that's why I really like to have these things to look at and analyze. And, you know, if with our dimensions that now we have this wall that we, you know, we weren't thinking about at first, whether you do what you're saying or you stack some of those words at the end or the beginning or something. So we have a lot of options.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to be working with Allie over the next month to get going on this. And we're trying to get on her schedule for June or July. So, and I can also give you guys, I mean, I don't know if we'll just keep doing murals, but we have to be kind of equal both sides of the river. So perhaps the last one we do for a while, maybe on the other side of the river, and just this is just kind of a preview, the Bike Collective, right there toward the river from SoCo. If you look at it, that wall is peeling paint really badly. And I don't know if you guys know the artist Dory Patrick. She's a local artist and has never done a mural. But she would like to do the history of biking, the history of bikes, because that's right there where you get on the trail. And of course the trail isn't just for bikes. Sometimes it feels like that, but, you know, and she wants to start when, the Czech Village started in the 1880s, 1870s, 1880s with, you know, those bikes that had the big, huge front wheel and the little back wheel and
penny farthings.
What?
Penny farthings.
Okay. I didn't know that was the name of them. Thank
you. Yeah. That's, yeah. The penny is one size and the farthing is a smaller size.
Oh, okay.
So it's based on British coins.
Oh my goodness, David, you're just a wealth of everything here. So, and then unicycle, I had a pink stingray. I was, you know, born in the 50s and grew up in the 60s and 70s. But all the way to, you know, these people. So that is something coming. But I haven't seen her drawing yet. Uh-huh. And we have to raise the money. So, you know.
Is anybody familiar with Laurie Anderson? Laurie Anderson, she's a performance artist in New York. And a violin figures in with it. And she came up with this thing where she stretched a piece of magnetic sound tape on her violin bow, and instead of the string, she had a pickup for the magnetic pickup to read the information on the tape. Does that make sense? So she just pulled this piece of tape across the pickup on the violin. So she's playing this, and it was just a very short little message that went, aesthetics is the ethics of the few, which was, sounds like kind of a political statement about elitism and so on. And she played this throughout her piece, and all sorts of other things are going on during this. And she did this three or four times, aesthetic is the ethics of the few. And then at the very end, she takes the bow just a little bit further. And aesthetics is the ethics of the future. And it was an interesting play on words. And it just sort of totally changed your stream of thought after you heard, okay, now they're saying this. This is something completely different that's being said here. Anyway, The reason I brought that up is because you were talking about maybe having a wraparound with the words that are on top of the building. Yeah. So it could say something up to the corner, which might start out feeling controversial, and then it turns the corner and it's fine. You know.
Okay, let me see if I can get that clever.
I do want to talk a little bit about the words. I'm, you know, as a history major in another life, I'm really kind of disturbed by saying, you know what, we don't really like Marx, we're going to change that. And I think that maybe that's a misattribution. I feel like that's Wendell Phelps. And
we had a long talk with the labor community here.
Well, Wendell Phillips was a famous abolitionist, and this is his gig. American abolitionist who was, really a friend to the Black community. And, given Black Lives Matter and what's happening now, I feel like that's an opportunity, an educational opportunity to talk about why, you know, people like Phillips felt these sorts of things were important. You know, I know Marx elicits the sort of worst emotions in people. Personally, I rather like Marx. I studied a lot of Marx, and there's much there that we, you know, internalized as Americans, as workers, as you know, part of the labor force. I get it. But I really think that somebody should take a stronger look at this and see if it is indeed really rather Wendell Phillips.
Okay, I will look at that.
Okay. Did we just have a sound loss?
Yeah. Okay. I think we're okay. Are you? I'm good. Okay. I'll take.
I can hear.
Yeah.
But somebody has to talk in order for me to hear it.
Okay, Kate. I will look into that. We've had some really good discussions with the labor community locally, who have done some supportive of this mural. And also the Schmidt Commission. So it's been an interesting, juxtaposition of everyone's feelings. So let me go back and look up the Wendell Phillips thing.
And I think that actually would wash away. I don't think anybody would object to this if they knew it was Wendell Phillips rather than Karl Marx.
I know. See, the Karl Marx thing even bothered some of the labor leaders. And that
really?
You don't even want to sit in on that thing. And we were hoping for was some support for the mural.
Uh-huh.
And got into pragmatism versus, I don't know, but I appreciate that. And I will look that up.
But I agree with everybody else. I like the piece. It's nice.
Okay. Well,
yeah, me too.
All right, well, stay tuned.
Yes,
we're gonna have it done by September one way or another. So
great.
Oh yeah,
can't wait to see it.
Yeah, so thanks for your input, guys. I appreciate the chance to do this. Mm-hmm. And Stephanie, what I'll do is I'll get back to you for distribution.
Perfect.
On what any few further discussions we have. Our Schmidt meeting is next Thursday.
Okay.
And I will look up the Wendell Phillips and all that. So
thank you.
Appreciate it, you guys. I always love hearing, and I did, David, learn a lot of new things from you today. So
thank you.
Yeah,
Monica, thank you so much always for being such a good partner with the VAC. We are always happy to work with you, and you're bringing such vibrancy and great ideas and fun to the New Bohemia Czech Village District. And we're really grateful.
Thank you. Thanks, everybody. Thanks for the opportunity to be here.
Yeah. Thanks, Monica.
Shut this.
It doesn't matter.
Okay.
It's fine.
Hey, I don't know if you noticed, Dan Perry from you and I was able to join just now.
I see that. Yeah.
Yeah, if he wants to talk about what he saw with Ricochet, would you like to do that right now, Dan?
Yeah, if you guys are ready.
Yeah, we can jump to that, you bet.
That's great. Thanks for joining us, Dan.
Absolutely. No, I'm happy because the meeting I just came from was outside, so hot. It was kind of an adventure coming down to see it in Cedar Falls because a little bit of the drama that it was moved on the day of that we're going to come and take a look at it, or at least the day before. So I guess I'll give you a little bit of my background. I teach sculpture at UNI and I run a program called the Public Art Incubator, which artists that have commissioned projects can come to us and have us fabricate them. And we hire students to do the work and work alongside artists. And so part of that lately has been evaluating a lot of aged sculptures around the state that need some help. And so with that said, when I came and looked at Ricochet, I had taken the original assessment done by the conservator, sort of had that in the back of my mind. And when I saw it, there were some issues that I'm, as a sculptor myself, I'm really surprised that it was allowed to be installed without being anchored to the surface. And so that would be something that would need to be done as part of the repairs would be adding some anchor points. The surfaces that are rusted and delaminated, the way you would fix that is we would need to cut them out and replace them with new Cortan steel, which is a type of steel that weathers. And at some point in history, it takes years, so like 10 years or so in, it develops a surface that crystallizes and stops the corrosion. So in the 70s, when it was sort of introduced, it was thought to be this sort of miracle material that would never rust out. But as it turns out, if water gets trapped in it, it will eventually rust through, especially here in Iowa with our freeze-thaw cycles and things like that. So that's where a lot of the damage happened on this sculpture.
Well, the flood took this one.
Yep.
The flood hit this. It was completely repositioned after the flood.
Mm-hmm.
It was in a different place and a different... It was on its side, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So, that probably had a lot to do with the corrosion, especially if something got trapped inside of it.
Yeah, and that's where the issue of some of the panels where they've rusted to is where water collects. As I'm looking at the accordion shape here, one of those panels is rusting through, and that's because you could see water would just sit here and over time freeze-thaw, and eventually it works its way through.
Yeah.
And the weep holes probably got clogged at some point, and that caused water to get trapped inside in different spots as well. The challenge with this artwork is that it is 50 years old, and so it's got a 50-year-old patina on it. And so to match that patina will be a challenge. In some way, it would always look like it would have been repaired. So the replaced panels will look like the raw metal, and they'll initially turn orange and eventually catch up to this, but we're talking probably decades before it matches.
Oh.
So it will take time. The other option, I mean, you could certainly blast off the patina that's on there now with sandblasting back to bare metal. But again, the chemical makeup of this metal may be different than today's formula. And so it still may not patina at the same rate. So
probably
gonna have visible repairs to it. And so I guess as a committee, one of the things you'll have to think about, is it worth the investment to fix it versus, or would it be better to invest that money into a new project and deaccession this artwork? And some of the factors you have to value in that is just like, well, I think the estimate for repairs was 13 to 15,000 roughly. And that seems pretty accurate to me, depending on, you know, of course, metal prices, which are wildly fluctuating at the moment, how that would work. And then, obviously finding a spot to anchor it down. So if it was to go back to this place right here where it's got the pavers, I would recommend pulling up the pavers, drilling in a concrete pillar like a sauna tube and then attaching to that and then replacing the pavers to make it look like there's, you know, more decorative. It would also make sense to sort of raise it up a little bit above the paver surface to kind of help with at least mitigating a little bit of the salt if this is a salted path, keeping the salt off the surface of the sculpture, or if it's something that gets plowed or snowblowed to keep the equipment away from the sculpture. So I mean, as a committee, you just have to decide if it's worth repairing it, or is it worth taking that money and reinvesting it elsewhere? And so that's really my, do you have any questions for me?
Did you say 13,000 was how much it would cost?
Yeah, according to the consumer, and like I haven't done a cost estimate on it yet, but I would say, you know, it would be closer to the low end of that repair cost.
Is this its original location? Can anybody hear me?
Yes, we can. I think, David, I think it was moved there around. I think it was somewhere else at one point.
Could this piece be painted?
So with that, that would be in terms of maintaining the accuracy of the intent of the artist, you would be fundamentally changing the artwork at that point, and you would need the permission of the artist, who I believe is deceased. I did a little looking into that, and I couldn't find much.
Well, there's one thing that that impresses me about sculptors and their thinking and their work is that at least some of the ones that I've talked to and or read about or read from talk about the piece not really being finished until it's placed in a location. So like the location and this new context for it finishes the piece. If it's just sitting in your garage or sitting in your warehouse or out in your front yard or whatever, it's not necessarily finished. Well, it is finished, but that's the context that you're living with. but it's more like an accidental or neither here nor there kind of context, but one that but so I think it's, I know it's really important, you know, how those things get placed and what else is around them, because it's going to be seen, those shapes are going to be seen in comparison to the shapes of the surrounding territory. It looks like this space is sort of, you know, big enough for that piece. And it looks like there's some flags up above it, and a view across the river. I don't have an objection to this location, but could it be maximized with enough different location? Wander around town with a cardboard cutout of this thing and just sort of think about where it would be in relationship to some other buildings or some other landscape or something. If we're going to go to all this trouble to fix it and consider how we're going to mount it properly, we might also want to think about a different location. Maybe.
So it sounds like our choices are fix it, decommission it, or talk to the artist about altering it so that we wouldn't have to decommission it. If the artist, if we said they have to decide, and one of the things would be we would just decommission it and it would be no more, but plan B could be to paint it. Where do you stand with that? I think that would be important to know first. I don't know what it would look like for it. I don't know what that would cost, but it seems like you should at least have that information.
Well, I know if I was the artist and they asked me, and so I got that phone call from Cedar Rapids, Iowa, I would say absolutely not paint it.
So you would rather it just be decommissioned and wherever it goes, rather than have it painted?
I'd like to see it repaired with a patch still visible. You know, it's got history to it. It's got, what, 50 years of history to it already?
The artist doesn't have the say-so about what we would decide. The artist is just, we're just asking them, this is an option, not that that's the way we would, the VAC would want to go. But I would think as an artist, I would like to know if my piece was going to be, one of the options was It Was No More versus painting, where do I stand on that?
Is the artist still around?
And Dan, I think you said he's
passed away.
What?
He passed away 10 years ago.
Yeah, so in that case, you would, if the artist has an estate, you would consult with them. And it's always sort of, it's a good practice to at least consult them prior to making any repairs to see if they have any information they can provide.
Yeah, I would definitely do that, yeah.
And I think the painting option is probably not an option just because you'd be fundamentally changing the artwork from what its original intent was. And that's something that, I assume this was a purchased item because it looks like it was purchased in 2000 by the city. And it was fabricated in 1972. So it wasn't a commissioned piece. And I think somebody was mentioning about siting and artwork. And so in this case, the artwork existed before the site. Sometimes it's the other way around. When you commission an artist, the site exists, and then the artist then envisions what the piece that they would put there would be.
Site specific, yeah.
Right, yeah. And so, my recommendations is to your committee has a discussion about how you'd like to move forward. I'm happy to answer any questions down the way. You can certainly just email me, or Stephanie has my contact information, and we can certainly discuss that further. That's what my recommendation would be, to discuss how you'd like to move forward and just thinking about a lot of those factors, because right now it is, it's sitting on pallets. It's not a public danger at the moment, so you do have some time. The sculpture is structurally sound. I'm not concerned about that. It's not something you have to decide in the next 5 minutes. It's something you have time to think about. You establish your timeline. Like if there's, I don't know the Cedar Rapids upcoming schedule, like if there's going to be construction at this site or if there's going to be other issues. I know here in Cedar Falls, like when there's a levee project, that does shift things around for time schedule. My assessment is that it can be repaired. The question is, should it? And that's up to you.
Dan, let me ask a question about location. What if it was indoors somewhere? Would that sort of stall the process of its deterioration?
Oh yeah,
certainly. Yeah. Yep, a controlled environment would certainly prolong it. It is quite a large thing. In terms of the safety issues that are in its current way. So, if you moved it indoors and were able to keep it out of public interaction, but on public view, but so people couldn't get at it somehow, whatever that might be, that is certainly an option. If you have a public space that would do that. That's certainly an option that I would recommend certainly cleaning the sculpture before you put it in somewhere, because it is full of debris at the moment. So Mother Nature always wins. So.
What's the title of this piece again?
Ricochet.
Ricochet?
Yep. So my interpretation of it is that it's a ball bouncing.
Uh-huh. It looks to me kind of like a musical note. At least half of it does. I'm wondering if it would look interesting in a big three-story tall lobby, like the Five Seasons Center or something. If you're thinking about interior spaces, or a music building somewhere, but we don't really have one that's except for Coe College or something, but that's not city owned.
If you don't have any more questions, then I can step out and let you guys get back to your business. But you have any questions, feel free to email me. And I'm, you know, not very far away, so I can certainly Zoom or come down again.
Thank you, Dan. Appreciate your time.
Okay.
Yep.
Thank you.
Well, thanks. Bye.
Bye. Well, that's not good news, folks, is it?
No, that's $13,000 bad news.
And it's, I don't think any of those choices sound really very good.
No, I think they're awful.
So this piece was listed in that survey, that maintenance survey that RLA did as part of the public art plan process. This is one of two priority pieces. So I think we'll probably have to put it on, you know, for more discussion now that you have this background and Dan is that, you know, expert in the sculptures. I really wanted you guys to hear it from him, what his take on the piece was. And maybe you can digest that now here and then at the June meeting and kind of dive into this and what you think should happen next. That was kind of my hope for today.
Who's the artist of this piece, Ricochet?
Yeah, his name is Robert W. Ellison. He passed away 10 years ago, and I have tried to find an estate. I have not found one at this point. I do have a call in to a gallery. I think it's in Sonoma, California, where he was living, where he passed away. And they do have at least one or more of his pieces. They're supposed to get back to me. I haven't heard at this point. So I am trying to find, if there is an estate to consult with.
Is there a record of how much the city paid for this?
There is. And John, I don't quote me on this. I feel like it was $25,000.
Okay.
Yeah. But I wouldn't.
That's no, I just
don't hold me to that.
Wondering if there was like a ballpark what it was when they got it.
Yeah, but that's 50 years, John, too. So it's 50 years old. And so what would that be in cost today?
Well, made in the 70s, but did the city
buy
it in 2000? Or did they buy it in the 70s?
No, we bought it in 2000.
Okay.
So it's still 20 years, right?
Okay.
No, it's, yeah.
I think in the interest of time, I'm going to kind of jump your chair back up to the beginning of the agenda.
Thank you.
Kind of bouncing around here.
So we need to have an approval of the minutes from the last meeting. So do we have any edits or changes to the minutes from the April meeting?
No, I don't.
No.
Okay, so if there are none, do we have a move to approve?
I'll move. David moves.
And do we have a second?
I'll second.
All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? None. So the minutes are approved. Thank you, everyone. I think our next item is the kind of closing up the loop on the Friends of Knoll Ridge mural.
Ah.
Yep. So she, Mary, did submit the donation application, which the Parks Department is reviewing right now as well. She did share with me just yesterday what the two finalists for their mural are. So I thought I would just share those two with you to preview. And I included, now this is from the public art plan that was just adopted, There are recommendations in the public art plan of review criteria for donations. So that's what these are right here. And I will jump down now to what she sent me. And I do not have any details really about these. The top one here is someone named Jordan. This is her website. And then this other person does not have a website. And, you know, honestly, I had emailed Mary to ask about this that you're seeing on the left. I don't know what's, you know, if this is the proposal or if that's just a sketch and it would be colored in. I don't know. So it was this, that's and this was submitted by the same person for number two.
Uh-huh. It looks like a sketch. Now, on the other one, there's areas that are, don't have color in them. But they don't look so much like a sketch like the ones on the left do. That definitely looks like a sketch.
So, weren't they going to do this in two parts, though? They were going to be able to do the way I understood it, they had the money to do the front, and then the side was going to have to be at a later date when they raised more money.
Yeah, that was the plan.
Okay, so that's probably why we're just seeing the just the sketch for the idea on the one wall, since they don't have the money yet.
So with number one, they would just do what's on either side of the door, but the rest is what would follow at some point?
Right, Lynn, because they said they only have money for the front at this point.
I think that bare surface next to the door there would be should have some stuff on it too.
Yeah.
Well, and in number two, you can see that's what they would do.
Yeah.
That would be a continuation of.
I will say, and she did include just a sentence that said, they have asked the finalists to revise slightly. So she did mention that, and I don't know. That's all I know.
Both of these?
Yes. Yeah.
So on number one, they have the artist just do those two sides. And then later on, a different artist comes in. I think there could be problems with the continuity.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas on the second one, if somebody else came in and it was just flowers and other things, a second artist could maybe help blend it more if they got the right artist.
Well, but Lynn, I'm thinking, okay, they only have the money for the front, but they want to continue it. And so they would probably keep the same artist if they're keeping, they would have to keep that same design. So you'd have the same artist.
That's assuming the artist would be available at whatever that later date is.
Or right. Hollywood or stills in the area. There could be all kinds of things, you know, that could get in the way because they don't know the timeline. It could be, I mean.
Well, it looks so nice. Both of those look very, very nice. And so I think someone probably will come forward quite soon to donate the money. Wishful thinking, but.
Yeah.
You know, about 3 or 4 months out of the year, that's going to be in the middle of a snowscape. And I'd be interested to. I don't know what I would do. I can't imagine, but it's going to look a lot different surrounded by snow than it does surrounded by foliage, by the green grass and the trees in the background and et cetera. I don't know. I have nowhere to go with that idea. It's just that I'm just curious about what it's going to half what it's going to look like for half the year.
It's going to be uplift. It's going to be uplifting, David. You know, okay. To look forward to spring, and it's also what they do there. So why would you? You know, I'm just trying to encourage you, David, because that's what we all look forward to when the snow piles up.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking maybe they could put some crocuses in there just to, no, just kidding.
So what are they looking for from us?
Well, I think this is one we have to vote on and approve because it is city property. So we're not just giving recommendations. We have, you know, the power to say yay or nay on this one.
Uh-huh.
I am a little concerned.
We have the power.
With what you pointed out, and I don't know if it was you, Lynn, or Betsy, who said that the front where it is, you know, you've got that bare concrete and that support beam between the two pieces of concrete that are just, you know, not included as part of the mural. When I put my hand over that left side wall, this piece then sort of ceases to make sense as a artistic whole.
I agree.
And so I would prefer that they did something, and you know, I don't, the artwork on either one of them, it's fairly innocuous stuff, it's fine. I would rather that they did something that was more like number two, no matter what the artwork was like, just so that it covered the entire front space, so that made a unified whole
for uh-huh.
a particular facing of the building.
That's how I feel. I think it has to be look all done on that, like number two does. Now, if number one can propose something and wants to show it, you know, that way, but
I think
of number one, but I don't think it's.
And, you know, I'm not sure, but I thought she had painted this right here. I think it's just a bad angle. I can try and see if there is something else real quick.
Is that signage?
That well, I'm going to see if I can. But I can certainly pass on the comments about, you know, not having that blank space up there.
Well, the other thing on that picture number one, where that yellow, is that a door? And is that going to be painted over like in number two so it doesn't look like a separate yellow rectangle or...
I don't know if I'm going to be able to find this very fast. Let's see.
Yeah, I think there might be signage above that doorway.
Well, we need to see how that whole front
is going to
look. I mean, that one section that they're going to do.
Is that the entrance door?
Yeah, I think right here. So let's see. I just found it. I'm going to try and show you guys. So she did not. You're right, it is blank. So right here, real quick, this is how it was left, just plain blue like that.
Oh, okay.
That's the entrance to the building. I think that should be
oh, no.
Pretty much so.
Yeah, the door, the garage door too.
Yeah, no. That's just,
it kind of obliterates the effect of a mural.
It really does. It's just not at all.
And there's a little triangular piece in the upper right hand corner of that. That would be good. And then that'd be good to paint that too.
But this rendition might have something to do with the way the request went out as to what could be addressed by the artist.
Maybe
with, you know, further information saying, you know, address these things as well, it might come alive.
Yeah.
Will our comments figure into the amended version, or are we just talking amongst ourselves here? You say they've already agreed, they've already sent out a request for an amendment to this design, is that right? And but
that's what you said per email yesterday, is that they've asked for revisions for these two.
I'm wondering what revisions they're asking for. I'm guessing that some of our revisions aren't not included in that, since we didn't tell them. Can we get our comments sent over to them?
Communicate that that inside area has to also be part of the
design.
Of the design, at a minimum.
Yeah.
You know, and that angled piece that we saw, that triangular piece, uh-huh. Are they going to be down the way incorporating that? Or is that always just going to be left?
You mean the piece that stretches back to the greenhouse?
Yeah, I mean,
on the south side. Yeah.
You want to request that's included as well, right?
Yeah, that might be a little trickier, having to paint over a glass roof.
Over the glass, just the cement.
And suspended over the glass is what you mean, not on the glass.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'm thinking about somebody standing there doing the painting. Right. What are they going to be standing on?
Right.
Well, I have a question, though. If they're paying for this, how can we tell them, oh, well, you need to add this? I mean, then that's additional cost for them. And if they only have so much, I mean, we have to work within their budget. We can't say, oh, I don't like this part of the building, it needs to be painted. They came with the initial thing, they had enough money just to do the front. And I think that's what we need to focus on.
I agree. We can ask the question what their plans are for phase two, if that triangular piece was going to ever be part of it. I do think we are in our right, before we give approval, to say if you're going to do the front, then do the whole front, and not just two front pieces and leave the rest with that door and that. I just think it looks
myself. I need to leave the meeting. I am sorry. Do we have something we need to vote on, Kate?
Well, we do need to vote on this if we're ready to do that. Or Stephanie, I think we could send comments back to them and see what they say and then vote on it. But that's yet another month, and I think they're ready to get started.
Okay.
So I think what we need to do is come up with a motion to vote on, which is something like, we would approve this project, but only if they were going to paint the entire whatever facing, you know, whatever direction facing wall and all the parts of the wall in whatever mural choice. And does anybody have a problem with either one of these?
No.
So
I think birds are nice.
So maybe it would be fine to just say, the artwork is fine. Either one that you select is fine, but we want you to paint the whole, all of the walls or all of the surfaces on that particular direction.
Right. Yeah.
And I don't think need to do the triangular piece. If they just do the whole front, it should take care of it.
Yeah. What if the response said something like, these are the mural pieces, but what if we do a facelift of color, solid paint in that interior space? Would that be acceptable? Budget consideration.
Yeah.
I'd
just
like
trying to think of how they might respond. Yeah,
well, I think
obviously number two had planned to do the back wall and the side wall. They just didn't color it in.
Right.
And so that person, and I see it's that same person that's also doing the one that Monica just spoke about. So she is definitely.
Oh, it is.
Yes.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
So she is an accomplished muralist.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Although she's also the artist that did the site of the parking ramp that we all hate on Green Square Park. She did that too.
Yeah, but that was not a controlled situation. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And that was an early one when she was still a student. I think she's learned a lot in between then and now. All right, so are we ready to craft a motion real quick about?
Well, we could say that we favor the second one because they're covering more surfaces. if we all agree that either one of them would be fine, then we would maybe favor the second one because more surfaces are being taken care of. If the other person also decides to take on more surfaces, then, you know, we could just throw the decision back to them. I don't know.
Lynn, you look like that doesn't sound good to you.
I don't want to leave it open that, well, go either one, and if you go with number one and it's not painted, oh well. I don't think so. I think we have to say that for proof, I mean, we feel if you're doing the front, you got to do the whole thing.
That what, Lynn?
I don't think we should leave it like we like either one. We would love for you to do the whole inside, but if you don't, oh well. I think we have to be a little firmer saying we will give approval as long as the whole front is done. Pick any artist you want. These two designs are great. But the first one needs to incorporate above and the side just like number two did.
So Lynn, would you want to make a motion that the two finalists would be supported by the Visual Arts Commission, provided that each finalist were to paint, you know, the entirety of the front surface?
Yes, including the overhead and the side pieces, you know, because I think both artists show the ability, so we don't have to see what that design's gonna be like. We have to assume that it's going to flow, you know.
I have another comment about these two. The entrance area here, the part that we're talking about doing first, that is actually going to have people walking right up to it. And so things like the details we see in the hummingbirds here will be easily seen. But those hummingbirds, if they were over on the long wall, they may or may not be recognized from the angle that most people are going to see it, which is the highway that goes by there, which is Collins Road. They're going to see it from there. But they are going to be unable to see anything that's got a lot of fine detail. And so the number one looks like it would be more effective from a distance.
But they don't have the money. I think if they went with number two, I think that's all subject to change at that point.
Yeah.
And could be a stronger like number one is.
Yeah. You know, yeah.
it doesn't have to be quite so subtle. I mean, who knows when that long wall is going to get done.
I suppose if they move some of those picnic tables further out, further into that space, that maybe more people would be inclined to actually walk up to that wall. But I don't think anybody ever walks up to that wall, except for the guy that mows the lawn.
No. All right. So do we have a motion to approve the concepts, either of the artistic concepts, provided that the final project includes the painting of all of the surfaces on that front of the building?
Yes.
I make that motion.
Yep. I'll second.
So Jim Lynn.
Yes.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, so we have a plan. So Stephanie, are you going to go back to Mary Moore to tell her?
Yes, I will do that right away. Yes.
Okay.
Anything else to vote on?
No, we don't have anything else to vote on, Betsy. So thank you for hanging in there while we did that.
Thank you. And everybody go stand on the porch by the museum and look at the lovely painting that's on the Second Avenue Parkade. It shows really beautiful from their porch.
Oh, cool.
On Second Street, yes.
Will do, thanks.
Okay.
Other updates or announcements from members?
No.
All right. Well, then
I have an announcement. Mel Andringa and Jane Gilmore are having a garage sale in the basement of the Cherry Building with lots of cool stuff. If anybody's interested in picking up some of Jane's older artwork, Mel's got a bunch of furnishings, like, you know, glassware and dishes and some furniture. And Jane's got some funky kitsch that she collects kitsch. If anybody's into kitsch, this would be might be a time for a look. Anyway, so it's going on tomorrow.
Okay.
Good.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. I think we've done it again. I'll see.
I couldn't figure out how to get my picture to show up, and I didn't want to start punching things because I thought I'd just end up getting lost in the internet somewhere.
Being gone.
So I didn't. I attempted only just for a while to try to get my picture to show up. So I'm not trying to dodge anything.
Well. Thank you all. I think we got some good work done today, and we'll see everybody in June.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, we're adjourned.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.